Have you ever received advice from somebody? A few of you have? Good advice? Well, now there you're. Sometimes, right? I received some advice yesterday via email, and I'd just like to share it with you. Some of it might be considered questionable for church, but I'm just going to share it with you, and you can do with it what you want. Some simple, amazing home remedies. How to avoid cutting yourself when slicing vegetables. Get someone else to hold the vegetables while you chop. I'm not going to share number two. For high blood pressure sufferers, simply cut yourself and bleed for a few minutes, thus reducing the pressure on your veins. Remember to use a timer, though. Okay? Number four, a mouse trap placed on top of your alarm clock will prevent you from rolling over and going back to sleep after you've hit the snooze button. If you have a bad cough, take a large dose of laxatives, then you'll be too afraid to cough. You only need two tools in life, WD-40 and duct tape. If it doesn't move and it should, use the WD-40. If it shouldn't move and it does, use the duct tape. If you can't fix it with a hammer, you must have an electrical problem. There's a thought for the day. It says, some people are like Slinkies. Not really good for anything, but they bring a smile to your face when they're pushed down the stairs. I'm not sure that applies really. And then some additional advice. Never, never, never under any circumstances take a laxative and a sleeping pill on the same night. Advice. Sometimes we get good advice and sometimes we don't. I think you have to take advice with a grain of salt, they say. Amen. Depending on the source, right? Some sources you can trust for advice, some sources you not so much. Sometimes we shake it off and think, well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Right? Anybody ever give you advice and you think, you walk off and you go, what planet are they from? Because that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Right? I think I've said that once. And it wasn't from my wife. I'll confess that to you right now. It was from David King. But is he here? He is. I love you, brother. When we look at the Bible, we will find some good advice. Some people will take that advice and shake it off and say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. What do you mean I'm supposed to live like this? What do you mean I'm supposed to do that? The problem is that it's more than advice. When we read it from Scripture and it applies to us, it's a command from the Most High God. It's not just advice. He told us to be holy as I am holy. There's no gray area in that. He says, be holy. Well, according to what? According to so-and-so? I'm more holier than thou. Right? I'm more holier than so-and-so. I'm better than so-and-so. But God says, well, here's my standard. It's my son. There's your example. There's your standard. Be holy as I am holy. Today we're going to look at two passages from God's Word that instruct us, every one of us, how to live this life. In particular, those who are servant leaders. Okay, when I say servant leader, I mean those who lead others or set the example by how they serve. Okay? The word we get from that is deacon. Now, when I say deacon, some of you, may conjure up bad words in your mouth that you're not going to speak in church. It may conjure up a great experience that you've had before. We probably all run the gamut. Within myself, I run the gamut. Okay, I'm a former deacon. I've been the chairman of deacons before, and I will tell you that I've been in churches where deacons served, And I've been in churches where deacons ruled. One is scriptural and the other is not. Can you figure out which one is which? Yeah. Scripture calls us, calls the deacons to be servants. That's the word. That's the word. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And quite honestly, I will tell you that when God called us here to Dolan some 4.5 years ago, and I found out the church did not have deacons, I was a little excited about that. I was a little excited about that because I had just come out of a horrible experience in a church where deacons ruled. I was a deacon, and it was a really bad experience for part of that time because the deacons began to manage and rule and to run off the pastor and all kinds of horrible things. And if you've been in a church very long, you might have had an experience like that. And if that's the case, I'm sorry that you've had that type of experience. That's not what was intended by Scripture. I've been told, actually, that we're not scriptural because we don't have deacons at Dolan Baptist Church. My response to that is that the church in Acts did not have deacons before they had deacons either. Really, they didn't. When a need arose within the church, they instituted deacons. I believe that we are at that point here at Dolan Baptist Church. Our fellowship has grown to the point to where the pastor cannot effectively minister to the entire congregation. In short, I need help. But I want to do this the right way. So for the next few weeks, we're going to look at what Scripture says about deacons, and then we will begin to put into place a group of deacons who will operate according to Scripture in order to meet the needs of the people here at Dolan Baptist Church. Okay, Scripture is going to be our guideline. And not guidelines like in the Pirates of the Caribbean, where it's, you know, give or take. They're more like guidelines. No, it's going to be our rule, okay? Scripture is going to be our rule. We don't need rulers. We need a rule. And Scripture is going to be our rule. If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 6, we'll begin to look at one of two passages today. And let's begin with this question. Is the deacon ministry necessary and valid in today's church? A fellow pastor in another state said that he didn't have deacons in his church and would not permit the church to ordain any deacons to the ministry. Another pastor said he didn't like deacons because they cause more problems than they give help to the church. So does the ministry of the deacon have validity in our church? Let's look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered together, all the disciples together, and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and they will and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. I want you to turn to another passage that we're going to be using today. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. You'll find these references in the bulletin. First Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. It says, "Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain, They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be the husband of but one wife and must manage his children and household well. Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. First, I believe we need to understand the New Testament function of a deacon. Okay? And then the Acts 6 passage, you'll note that the word deacon is not even mentioned in that passage. It just says servants, people to serve, wait on tables, it says. There's a word related to the deacon that is used here, and it's just simply serve, a servant. In Greek, this word is called diakonos. Does that sound familiar? Diakonos, that's where we get the word deacon from. But deacon doesn't mean, diakonos in the Greek, doesn't mean one who rules, one who's a member of a board who governs the church. It does not mean that. It means simply a servant. Okay? You might even refer to if you're a wealthy landowner and you have servants and staff and workers, you might even refer to the one who brings in the fresh laundry, a diakonos, a servant. The word is used more in a sense of character or a function rather than title, okay? A lot of times people get mixed up with, well, I'm senior deacon of First Baptist Timbuktu. And there's really, that's taken completely out of context, because what it really means is I'm a servant in that church. And a servant, listen, a servant is not one of high standing, right? A servant is not one of high standing. The early church used the experience of the widows being overlooked as the beginnings of the ministry of the deacon. So from this passage, we can really conclude on two different things. One is that the deacon is a servant and a helper of the pastor. He's not a dictator or a ruler. A board of deacons is not established to control the church. The deacon is a servant of Christ and of the church. The second thing we can gather from this passage is that the deacon is elected by the church and not by the pastor or by any other group. It's not a political position within the church. The church chooses its deacons from the church body. Okay? Now, as we begin to look at, over the next few weeks, we begin to look at the characteristics, the qualifications, the job description, the duties, what's called of a deacon. I want you to begin to think in your mind about some men in this church who meet these qualifications, who are servants, who are already serving, and we can recognize them and officially later on down the road when we form a deacon body. Folks, I believe this is where we're headed. I believe this is where we need to be headed. I believe we're at the point now to where I need some help ministering to you guys. Okay, in a closer, maybe even more personal way than I can to everyone. It's just not physically possible anymore. Studies will show that a minister can effectively minister to about 100 people. Beyond that, there's neglect. There's not on purpose or anything, but it's just too much for one person. And so that's the premise. That's what happened in Acts. There were too many things going on, too many people, and the leader said, we just can't do all of this. We need some help. So he told the church, you choose from among you 7 men. Gave some descriptions. They chose them, and then those men stepped into official roles as servants in the church. And that's where we're headed. A little bit further down the road, but I believe that that's what God has told me that we need to move towards. Okay. It establishes some stability in the church. The second thing we need to understand is that there are criteria for deacons. And in verse 3, it says, "Brothers, choose from seven from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom." Full of the Spirit and wisdom. I believe what we can derive from this is that there are some qualifications. And again, we'll look at the other passage also, but he needs to be a person of integrity. Amen. Don't you think? Yes. Don't you think if there's going to be a servant? How many of you, let me ask you this. If you were a master of the household, and some of you are saying, well, I already am that, okay? If you were rich enough to afford a servant, and you had a servant that was serving you, and they were doing the house cleaning, and they were maybe cooking, and feeding the pigs, and doing all those, changing dirty diapers. How many of you would love that? Yeah, changing dirty diapers. How many of you would have that servant if they weren't a person of integrity? If you couldn't trust them in the household, if you didn't happen to keep a constant eye on them, if you weren't afraid that they were going to walk off with some of the things that belonged to you, how many of you would trust that person or continue to have that person as a servant in your house? You would not. You want someone with integrity, and that's what we're looking for also, someone with integrity. This person, he's a person who has a reputation in word and in action. Not just a person who talks about or is talked about or says, I do these good things, or says, I'm willing to serve, but someone who actually does it. What do they say? You got to talk the talk and walk the walk. They go together. Amen. He's an evangelist. Now, hold on a minute. I ain't no preacher, you might think. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. God has called every one of us to the ministry. Maybe not vocationally, like he's called me and others, but he's called every one of us to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power, the resurrection power that lives within us if we have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If we have put our faith and our trust in him as our Lord and our Savior, receive the forgiveness of his sins, begun a process of transformation, we are to be a witness to that. You are to be an evangelist. Every one of you. I'm not just talking to deacons here. I'm talking to every one of us. We're all to be evangelists. He should possess a blameless character. Well, that throws me out, right? Somebody, you might say, I might say that. Well, that throws me out. I'm not blameless in my character. I've done some things. It's not saying you're perfect. It's what it's saying is that your character is good character. Blameless. When you find that you've done wrong or you've harmed or done some sort of thing, that you come to a point of repentance, you make restitution, you say, I'm sorry, I did not mean that, or I did mean that, but I'm sorry that I meant it. What can I do to make it right? You make restitution in that, and that is what's part of a blameless character. Amen. It cannot be brought back up on you because it's been dealt with. Okay? He's to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. A deacon is full of the Spirit, not full of himself. Now, I will tell you, I know some deacons who are full of themselves. They've neglected the Word of God. They've taken the advice, right, or the commands found here in the passages that we've read, and they thought, nah, that's just old wives' tales. That's just good advice that I'm not going to take for me. That's not that good advice. Doesn't fit with my lifestyle. Like so many times we do with other parts of God's Word, right? We'll toss it to the side and say, well, that was back then. If the Bible had been written today, it'd be different. Oh, my friend, it would not be different. God says, I do not change. God is the same yesterday, and the same today, and the same forever. This Word is eternal, folks. The Bible says that that men like will wither and fade like the grass, but my word endures forever. All things will pass away except God's word. He's baptized in the Spirit. You know what that means? He's born again. He's indwelt with the Holy Spirit. When he comes and he confesses that he is a sinner, just like the Scripture says, I confess that I'm a sinner. We need to come to a point of repentance. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we come to the point where we say, Jesus, we may even cough because we're so overwhelmed. But we'll say, Lord, I have done some things and I've done wrong. And I agree with you that what I've done is wrong in your sight. I'm sorry. I need forgiveness. I understand that I cannot get to you any longer because of what I've done without your help. And you say to God, Lord, I realize that you sent Jesus Christ to pay for that sin that I committed. I receive that. I accept that in my life. I ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I'm going to be His servant. I'm going to be His deacon, right? I'm going to be His diakonos. I'm going to follow His rules. I'm going to do what He says. I'm going to live a life of integrity. I'm going to do those things. I'm going to receive the forgiveness. I'm going to receive His lordship in my life. And I look forward to eternal life in heaven because of that, because of the blood shed on Calvary through Jesus Christ. I also receive the resurrection that was Jesus Christ in out of the tomb 3 days later. Paul writes about the resurrection, that we share in the resurrection with Jesus Christ as believers. And when we do that, we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left His disciples, He said, I'm going away, guys. I'm going to prepare a place. And I'll come back. But in the meantime, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He says, where I was with you, I was among you, where we walked together and where I was there, the presence of God was, now I'm going to send the Spirit and He will be in you. Where I was with you, He will be in you wherever you go. You see, like when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, he was at the well with that woman. His disciples went in town, right, to get food. The presence of God was at the well, not in town with the disciples. But Jesus said, I'm going away and I'm going to send you the Spirit. So now, when the disciples went out across the known world, the Spirit of God was with them. When you become a believer in Jesus Christ and you receive the salvation, when you, whatever you want to call it, become a convert or you're redeemed, whatever terminology you use, the Spirit indwells you. Okay? So a deacon must be a believer. He must have received the Holy Spirit. He must have confessed that he's a sinner, received the forgiveness and the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. He must be born again. And he's controlled by that Spirit. He's not a know-it-all, but he's obedient to the Spirit. Okay? He's obedient to the Spirit. He's obedient to the voice of God. Remember that servant I told you that you now have in your household changing dirty diapers? If you tell him or her, okay, little Johnny has a dirty diaper, please go change the diaper, and the servant says, I don't think so. I'm not going to do that today. There will probably be some ramifications of that. Maybe the servant will be asked to not come back, right? Or maybe there'll be some renegotiating in the salary or something like that. I mean, you don't say that to your boss. If you're the boss says, well, here's what I need an assignment for you to do. This is your job. This is in your description. This is what you're to do. You don't just say, well, I ain't doing that. Well, you certainly could. But there would be some ramifications to that, right? The servant does not say no to the master. When the Spirit is within us and He gives us direction, we don't say no to the master. The deacon, the man that we're looking for, is one who responds to the Spirit. When the Spirit lays upon his heart a conviction or a command to do something or to say something or be something, that person responds to that voice. He's controlled by the Spirit. The deacon is concerned about his relationship with Jesus. He continues to nurture and grow that relationship. You see, sometimes we believe that a relationship was a one-time event. I got saved when I was 9 years old. My relationship with Jesus Christ was established. Now I'm 45. I haven't grown any, but I've got it. That's not a relationship. That's an acquaintance. That's an elementary school friend. You know how elementary school kids have friends, right? Today you're my friend, tomorrow you're not. Then the next day, you're my friend again. The next day, you're not, right? Today you're my girlfriend until something better comes along. Seriously, folks, sometimes people treat the relationship with God like that. Today you're my friend because I'm in need of something. I need you for something. You're my best friend in the whole wide world. Oh, thank you for blessing me. I'll just call you next time I need you. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to do my thing. Oh, mercy, I'm in trouble. You're my best friend in the whole wide world. I know it's been 27 years, but you're still my very best friend. Some people live their spiritual lives. Their relationship with Jesus Christ is like that. And I would tell you, that is no relationship. The deacon is concerned about his relationship with Jesus. It's what's on the inside that matters most. I like Coca-Cola. Rebecca says that's her drug of choice. I like Coca-Cola. I have to ask myself, what's more important? The bottle or what's inside? What do I want when I go down to Shade Grocery and I buy a big, they have the big cans of Coke. And we just call those the tall boys, I guess, the tall ones. When I go down there and I buy one of those big cans of Coke, am I concerned about what the metal, the aluminum that's made of? And I really want that aluminum, or do I want what's inside? I want what's inside, folks. I can pour it out over over ice or whatever, but throw away the can. I don't care about the can. I want what's inside. And listen, the Spirit, when He's inside of you, He is what's important. What's inside of you is the most important. It's not what's on the outside. He's concerned about his relationship with Jesus, what's on the inside. He's also full of wisdom. I could make a really smart crack about that, but I won't, because wisdom doesn't come from us to begin with. All right? You may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm not that wise. And in truth, on your own, you're probably not. In truth, on my own, I know I'm not. Wisdom is not knowledge or a learned skill. Wisdom comes from God. The Bible says in Proverbs that the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. And so we must be full of wisdom. What wisdom is, it's seeing the world from God's point of view. That's true wisdom. When God imparts to you His vision, that's wisdom. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says that, it tells us there that if a deacon wants to be wise, he needs to study the Word of God. I mean, it doesn't say this here, but I'm just saying that the deacon, if he wants to be wise, he needs to study daily the Word of God. He needs to make that his habit, make that part of his character. He needs to make prayer a priority. Amen. And if the deacon will follow this advice, rather these commands, if he will follow this rule, then the following will be true for him. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. Those who have served well will gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, the deacon who serves well, the deacon who serves according to Scripture, the deacon who follows the Word of God, the deacon who serves according to Scripture, who serves other people, He sees other people as better than himself. Folks, this whole book tells us how to be a deacon. And just because somebody isn't called a deacon doesn't mean they're not deaconing. That's probably not even a word. I just made it one. Write it down. Deaconing. You don't have to be a deacon to deek. Deacons are those who are already deaconing and now recognized by the church and says, these men are going to be the men that we look forward to, that we look to. These men are going to be the one who I know that I can count on. These men are going to be the ones who are serving. They have been serving, they are serving, and I know by their character they're going to continue to serve. These are the men that I want as our church to be a helper to my pastor. I'm telling you, folks, your pastor needs help. You may be sitting there and you may be thinking, well, you know what? That's just not me. I don't meet those qualifications. You should. You should. You should strive towards that. That should be our goal. Jesus Christ is our model. He is our example. We ought to strive to be that. Did Jesus come as a ruler? Did Jesus come as a dictator, dominating and commanding things? I mean, he did say make some commands, yes. But did he come to rule? No. He came how? To serve. He was a foot washer. He was a bread breaker. He was a life giver. That's a servant, folks. That's a servant. As we continue to look over the next several weeks at the qualifications, the call to be a deacon, I believe this is the right direction of our church, for our church to go in. I believe it's just, and again, it's not that it's unscriptural to not have deacons, but I believe to follow Acts, when the church got to the point where they needed deacons, they brought on deacons. I will tell you, if I need to ease anybody's minds, that we're going to set this up correctly and rightly to where that this group of deacons does not morph into the governing body of the church, because that is not scriptural. Okay? So we will set it up to make sure that within their guidelines and their operating procedures or whatever you call it, there will be nothing. And matter of fact, we'll probably even say something that will be a point of disqualifications if somebody begins to believe that way. Okay? Because I have prayed over this for a long time, folks. For over a year. Probably even close to 2 years. And I've prayed over it with fear and trepidation. Because I know, I'm told of the history of deacons in this church. I know from experience, my experience in other churches as a deacon. I know how we don't want to have it done. I know how the Scripture does not tell us to do it. I want to do it right according to Scripture. Okay? I believe that we need it. I believe that I need it. I believe that you need it. Maybe you're sitting there, maybe you're thinking, well, that's great. That's great, Brother Mike. I agree with you. But that's certainly not me. That's certainly not me. Let me tell you something. On your own, I would certainly agree with you. Absolutely. I would certainly agree with you. Because none of us are righteous. No, not even one. But that's the part where the Spirit does the things that we cannot do. The Spirit begins to work in us and build us up, not for our glory, but for His, so that we can serve one another, lead others to Christ, teach others, minister to one another, help those who are hurting. That's what we need. That's what we need. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what, I'd like to be that kind of guy, but I'm not. Submit to the Spirit. Submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, and He will grow you into that, because that is His will. That is what Scripture teaches. That's who we are to become. If you recognize that in your life, that I'm not that, that's a good thing, and here's why. Because we all have to come to the point where we say, I can't do this by myself. I need something else. And the answer to that is Jesus. Amen. The answer to that is Jesus. So if you recognize that in your life right now, you're saying, well, you know, I'd like, this all sounds great. That's just not me. That's a good thing, because that's the first step. That's the first step in growing to maturity in Jesus Christ. So if that's you, congratulations. Now what are you going to do with it? You see, it's back on you. It's not on me. It's back on you. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that knowledge now that you have that I can't do this on my own? I need something else to help me. The answer is waiting. The answer is waiting. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. The altar is going to be open. I will tell you that in our prayer time this morning, I confessed to our prayer team that was here. By the way, Sunday morning at 8 o'clock, any of you are invited to come and join us for prayer. We pray for this service specifically. But in our time this morning, I said, you know, this is not an evangelistic type of sermon. I'm just talking about teaching and training and qualifications and stuff. But I also said, but I know that the power of the Holy Spirit is so much stronger than I am. He's so much better that He can take the words from my mouth, change them to your ears, and He will tell you what you need to hear. So just because I've not preached a particularly evangelistic type of sermon does not mean that you can't respond to the Holy Spirit. Whatever He's been telling you, I'm not saying that if He's been speaking to you, because I know He has been, and you know He has been. What has He been telling you? You respond to that. You respond to that. Whatever He's been telling you. Maybe it's time you need to come and pray. You come and pray. You get right with Him and move forward in your relationship with Him. Don't be vacillating from best friend to ignored friend. Best friend to, that's so elementary. Let's grow up. Let's grow up. Whatever your need is, I'll be standing here at the front. My wife, Rebecca, will be standing here with me. If you're a lady and you want to come and pray with a lady, that's why she's here. I'll be here at the front. The altar is always open. You respond as the Lord leads you. I'm going to pray for us. Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You for what You've done for us. Father, help us to live a life of gratitude. Help us to follow Your example. Father, You came. Lord Jesus, You came to this earth to serve. And You led by service. Father, help us to follow Your example. Help us to realize that our scriptural call in our life is to be a servant and to lead others by serving. Lead others to Christ. Lead others into a right relationship with the church. Lead others into a fellowship with the church. Lead others into experiencing what it means to be loved, to be nurtured. Father, help us to be leaders. Help us to be deacons. Help us to be servant leaders, Father. That's our call. Help us to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Just stand.